Welcome to our study of the Gospel of John here on the Radio Bible Course. We're picking up today with John chapter 12. Jesus' words in verse 31 are these, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." In yesterday's program, we were discussing the meaning of cast out. How is the ruler of this world, which is a reference to Satan, how is he cast out? And I suggested that words have more than one meaning, and even though all the translations of the New Testament seem to go along with the idea of cast out, I could not figure out what it meant to be cast out. How was he cast out? And cast out from what? So, in studying the Greek, I see there is another possibility, and we want to discuss that today. For example, Jesus said in John chapter 9, verse 38, "Therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." The same Greek word is translated here, send out. Now, when I see such a translation in another part of the Bible for the same Greek word, I realize that perhaps we can get a better meaning out of this passage by a better translation. You see, this Greek word, ekbalo, is used many times in the Bible. It's used to pull out, to pluck out the beam out of your own eye, that is. This is the word translated send forth, send out, cast out, and throw out. So we have some choices. The context usually decides, and the context here has no meaning when it says cast out. At least it has no meaning to me. I couldn't find any commentator who could explain cast out of what or the significance of it. So, until I get evidence to the contrary, I prefer to translate this, "Now shall the ruler of this world be sent forth." That, of course, is the Kelevota version. And I wish you would just make a note of it in case you are teaching a Bible study class. When you come to this passage, you might want to say, there's a possibility that this word should be translated, "be sent forth." But someone might say, what's the meaning of this evil one being sent forth? How does that improve the translation? To be sent forth or brought forth to do what he is supposed to do at this time of the crucifixion. This is brought out in the very next chapter of John, chapter 13. Notice verse 2, "And during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas to betray him," and so connecting all of this, and this is still part of that context, I see that Jesus is saying, "Now is the ruler of this world put forth," or sent forth, "so that he can do what he is supposed to do." And what is that? To bring about the hour that Jesus was sent to this world for. Now, if that's a help in the translation, fine. And if it isn't, dismiss it. But we like to have some kind of meaning in what we are reading, and I thought that might be of some help. Now, let's move on. By the way, this word balo or ekbalo means to throw. And where do you suppose the word ball comes from, our word today for ball? Well, it seems to have come from this same word balo, to throw. So a ball, while it means something round, has the idea of being thrown. And I think there's a connection here between the verb and that particular word. Now we move on to verses 32 and 33. Jesus said, "And I, when I am lifted up," some translations say, "and I, if I am lifted up, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show by what death he was to die. The lifting up refers to his cross death, but it can additionally include his resurrection and ascension. I say that because of the preposition in the Greek which follows this verb, lifted up. It's that common preposition ek, meaning out of, as a source. And can't you see that idea in the resurrection of Christ, where he was lifted out of the tomb and lifted up off of the earth into heaven when he ascended? I think that may be the meaning here. Verse 33 leaves no doubt about that. That's the primary idea. In what sense now would he draw all men to himself? For when an unlearned person reads this, he says, there's something wrong here. He can't understand the Bible. He can't understand that when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, he drew all men to himself. Is that what he meant? It didn't happen in the first century, and it's not happening now. So is the Bible wrong? Well, I think the emphasis here is, I will draw all men to myself. And that's in what context? In what sense does he mean that? Well, up to this time, Jesus had focused his entire attention on the Jews. They were the lost sheep of the house of Israel to whom he was sent primarily. Now, the Greeks have come. They are asking for an interview with Jesus. And now Jesus says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. It doesn't mean all in number, but rather all kinds of men to himself, Gentiles as well as Jews. So here again we have that announcement like we had in John chapter 10 verse 16, to which we earlier referred in our study, other sheep have I which are not of this fold, referring to the Jewish fold. Them also I must bring. So here's another reference to the Gentiles being brought into the one fold with Christ as the shepherd. Jesus earlier spoke of being lifted up. That was in John 3:14. That's not a common expression among us today, that is, being lifted up. But in the Bible, it certainly means the crucifixion. And it's that famous passage in John 3:14 and 15 when Jesus said to Nicodemus, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Now the serpent was lifted up on a pole. There was a bronze serpent made by Moses under the instruction of God, which would be the remedy for snake bite, back there in Numbers chapter 21. And that happened in the last of the 40-year wilderness journey, when the people murmured against God and against Moses. So God told them to make a serpent and put it on a pole, and that pole was lifted up. It had the serpent on it, so it could be in view of all the people, and they were to look at it. And if they had been bitten by a serpent, they were healed of the poisonous snake bite when they looked. Now, you can see the parallel. Jesus said, so must the Son of Man be lifted up on a pole, a cross pole, there's no doubt about it, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. What a wonderful gospel passage. Now we come to verse 34 of John chapter 12. The crowd heard what Jesus had proclaimed, and they have a theological problem. They say, we have heard from out of the word of the law, the Christ remains forever. How can you say that the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Now, here is another case where the Jews referred to the Old Testament as the law. And when Paul said, you are not under law, you are under grace, he, of course, primarily meant the law of Moses. But sometimes the law also incorporates all of the scriptures of the Jews, and this is one of those cases. How do we know that? Because there is nothing written in the law of Moses about Christ remaining forever. We can't find a single passage that talks about this endurance of his throne, the eternalness of his reign. nothing at all like that in the law. But you do find it in a number of other passages, and we want to look at a few of those. For example, in Isaiah or Ezekiel, Ezekiel 37, verse 25, it says, "And David, my servant, shall be their prince forever." That's one. And one other that's familiar is Isaiah 9, 7. "And the increase of his government and of his peace there will be no end." That certainly tells you that the Christ who comes is to be the king who will rule forever. And that's what the Jews were expecting, a ruler who would deliver them. Now let me ask, how were they interpreting these passages? Literally? Because they said, "We read from the law," that is in the Old Testament, "that the Christ, the Son of Man, will live forever. And you talk about him dying or being lifted up," well, which means the end of his life. How does this jibe with the Old Testament passages, they're asking Jesus? It shows the literalness of prophetic interpretation. They, of course, are confused here because Jesus is saying one thing and the Old Testament scriptures seem to be saying something else. And they are looking at this man, Jesus, who has been performing many, many signs and claims to be the Son of Man, but now he talks about his life ending on a cross. They were familiar with how the Romans lifted up thieves and robbers and nailed them to a cross as their punishment and made a public spectacle of them. Is this going to happen to this person who has been working all of these miracles? They are not familiar from their study of the Bible of a Son of Man who would be lifted up. So they ask, who is this Son of Man of which he was speaking? They knew about another one who will rule forever, and their question seems to be aimed at getting an understanding of a Messiah who dies. Not, who is he, specifically, but tell us about this kind of a Son of Man. Now, in verse 35, we see that, instead of answering, Jesus exhorts them to respond to the light given to them for a while. And he leaves no doubt that he is that light. That's in verse 35. "The light is with you a little longer. Walk while you have the light, lest the darkness overtake you. He who walks in the darkness does not know where he goes. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." We'll continue our discussion of these passages tomorrow. I'll be here and I hope you'll join me. Are you afraid to die? Many people feared death. The Word of God, however, tells us that Jesus was victorious over death when he arose from the grave, and his victory can be claimed by everyone who believes in him to save them. Many of the promises of Jesus about eternal life are discussed in our abbreviated 12-tape cassette course called Highlights of the Gospel of John. We'll be happy to send you information about that. Write to the Radio Bible Course. Ask for tape information. Until tomorrow, this is Nick Calavota reminding you that the word gospel means good news.
Our address is Radio Bible Courses, Post Office Box 14916, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70898. The website is rbcword.org.